For KFSK News, I'm Angela Denning. Today is Monday, April the 25th. Thanks for joining us. Volunteer firefighters say homeowners used a garden hose to extinguish most of a fire in the woods behind a Sandy Beach Road home Friday afternoon. The fire department was called to the 400 block of Sandy Beach around 12:35 Friday afternoon. Volunteer spokesman Dave Berg says it appears a blaze got out of control in an unattended burn barrel or burn pile.
There's a reminder now this time of year when our grasses are so dry and the wind can come up a little bit people are clearing the area around a burn barrel, making sure that the area is wetted down before you start a fire and to make sure that it's going to be contained.
Berg says burn barrels need screens over the top and homeowners should register a burn pile through the borough's website. He also says it's good this blaze was spotted quickly.
You know, we appreciate the local homeowners there coming to the rescue with some garden hoses in the area to knock it down. Don't rely on garden hoses. You know, call the fire department right away. Call 911 and report the emergency. We certainly don't mind coming out and mopping up if we need to, but at least we're on the way if something gets out of control.
It appears the fire damaged some nearby fishing gear. Petersburg has had little precipitation this month, but had rain throughout the weekend. Two Petersburg residents have pleaded guilty to making a false accusation against a Petersburg police officer following a traffic stop a year and a half ago. The police department released video footage from newly purchased body cameras to contradict the complaint. Joe Vicnicki reports.
On September 28, 2020, police charged Julie Rule with driving under the influence of alcohol. That was after receiving a report of an SUV swerving before it pulled over into the Scow Bay turnaround about 3 miles south of Petersburg. Police say Rule was met there by her partner, James Vick, and got into his truck. Officer Lewis Wachter arrested her after conducting part of a field sobriety test. Police Chief Jim Kerr said both Rule and Vick claimed that the officer touched her inappropriately, using both hands while helping her into the patrol vehicle, and asked to file a criminal charge against him. 2 months later, police charged the two of them for a false report. Kerr released video footage from the encounter and said he played the recording for the two and gave them the chance to recant their accusation. The department had purchased body cams that summer and said this was the first time footage was used to defend an officer against a complaint. In the video, Vic tells the officer that Rule had not been driving. Later, he also claimed the police edited the footage to eliminate the inappropriate touching. However, police say that's not possible with the new video system. The video shows her asking for help to get into the police vehicle. The officer holds a flashlight in one hand while his other hand is not visible, and he helps her get in. In March of this year, Vic agreed to plead guilty to a charge of providing a false report. He was sentenced to 10 days in jail and a $1,000 fine. However, both his jail time and fine are suspended. Rule was scheduled for trial this month, but also accepted a plea agreement, pleading guilty to making a false report and a reduced charge of reckless driving. She'll have to pay a $1,000 fine, but has a 45-day jail sentence suspended for the reckless driving charge. Another 10-day jail sentence and a $1,000 fine are suspended for the false report. Both are also on probation for a year. Vic ran for borough assembly last year, but finished last in an 8-person race. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicnicki.
President Joe Biden visited Seattle on Friday to announce an executive order meant to protect old-growth forests on federal lands. The order also aims to help forest-based rural communities develop economies around outdoor recreation and wood products from reforested areas. Biden signed the order in Seattle's Seward Park.
Today I'm about to sign an executive order to strengthen our forests on federal lands and make them and the local economies they support more resilient in the face of wildfires.
The executive order calls for an inventory of mature and old-growth forests on federal land, and then for the development of policies to manage and conserve those lands. The president says these changes will help address climate change because forests, particularly old-growth forests, sequester large amounts of carbon, drawing down the carbon dioxide that drives climate change. At the same time, the Biden administration has authorized increased oil and gas production on other federal lands, including in Alaska. The reported active cases of COVID-19 in Petersburg continued to rise last week. The online dashboard maintained by the Petersburg Medical Center showed 27 active cases as of Friday afternoon. That number does not include people who test positive on take-home kits and don't report it. Petersburg's testing positivity rate has increased as well, now over 15% during the past week. There were 18 active cases among staff and students at the schools as of Friday. Petersburg Medical Center is holding its community health and safety fair after a three-year hiatus. The in-person event will be June 4th. Blood draws will begin Tuesday, that's tomorrow, and run every Tuesday and Thursday through May 19th. Here's more on that. Petersburg's last health fair was canceled because of the pandemic. So the theme this year is fitting, getting back on track.
We really encourage community members to really get back into the mindset of preventive care.
Julie Walker is PMC's Community Wellness and Emergency Preparedness Coordinator. She spoke with KFSK during the monthly PMC live show. A big part of the health fair are blood draws. People can get their blood tested for several basic health conditions for $45.
Indicative of, you know, diabetes or other health issues that they may detect early and be able to address.
The basic blood draw looks at white and red blood cell counts and platelets. Also, cholesterol, kidney function, and sodium, potassium, chloride, and calcium levels. People can also pay more for extra blood work that tests for hemoglobin, thyroid, PSA for men, and IFOB for colon cancer. However, Walker says that a few other add-ons will not be offered this year because of limited testing supplies.
We actually had to limit our testing menu. So we're not offering things like things that had to be sent out, such as vitamin D testing or HIV testing. We're not able to offer those tests this year.
The fair helps residents and healthcare providers track a person's health over time. Walker says it also allows the blood work to be given and processed at discounted rates.
Significantly lower than normal. And so we actually don't bill insurance for the cost of the health fair labs. Those are all paid out of pocket. Some employers, local employers, are also paying for their employees. So when you go to sign up, you'll see a list of those employees. And if you work for one of them, then, you know, you can get your health fair labs paid for through your employer. So that's a nice benefit.
PMC is encouraging people 45 and older to get the IFOB, which is a home kit screening for colon cancer. Samples are brought back to the local lab. CEO Phil Hofstetter said it's been really challenging trying to get doctors to visit town for colonoscopies.
So our medical staff really wanted to push something out there, at least to get something that you can do a home screening. It's not perfect from that standpoint, but it is something that's available, and I highly encourage that.
Usually around 500 people take advantage of the blood draws prior to the health fair. The medical center has tested staff already, so they could work out any possible kinks in the system. The in-person event on June 4th will take place in the community gym with tables about health, safety, and wellness. A few doctors will give talks on understanding the blood work results. A guest speaker from Nome, Carol Sepelu, will present on overcoming obesity and depression. She'll give two talks, one for teenagers and young adults, and one for the general community. In Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning. And again, the community health fair will be in person June 4th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. in the community gym. Blood draws start up tomorrow, and people can schedule those on PMC's website, pmcak.org. We have a link with our story as well. There's just a few weeks to go before Alaska tries out a new election system. And so getting the word out about this year's change is crucial. One group is helping to educate voters with M&Ms. Lindsay Berlini has this story from Juneau.
Near the entrance to Amalgad Distillery in Juneau, there are paper cups, each with eight different flavors of M&Ms. These represent the primary candidates for this mock election. People scan a QR code and then vote for their favorite M&M. They can only pick one. That's how Alaska's new primary will work. Once there are enough votes in, the top four M&Ms will face off in the general election. That's when people will rank candidates. Caroline Storm wasn't a fan of the peanut butter flavor when she was tasting the candidates.
Oh, that's awful. Which one was that one?
Peanut butter.
Oh, that was my favorite.
She gave the rest to her partner. Storm is from Anchorage and was in town for a few days, so she wanted to visit the distillery. And she also wanted to learn more about the open pick one primary and ranked choice voting, so the event was a double win for her.
And I'm really excited it's an open primary for the first time. I think that'll be more representative of Alaskans' actual views on politics and the candidates versus closed primaries.
She says the M&M election is a fun way to engage with ranked choice, and she did learn more about how the process works.
I found out just a little bit ago that you only get to choose one and not four for the primary, so that was new information to me.
And before the event, she didn't quite understand how the candidates got eliminated in the general election. Amanda Mosier is with Alaskans for Better Elections. The group is responsible for writing the ballot measure in 2020 that changed the state's elections. And now they want to make sure Alaskans know what to do with those changes. She says a lot of people have had the same confusion as Storm about the primary, which is why they are traveling around the state to show people how it works with M&Ms.
And the best thing about it is that it's an interactive way for voters to familiarize themselves, reconnect with the great M&M flavors, and feel confident with the process moving forward.
Mosier says to remember that in the primary, you only pick one candidate. And then in the general, you rank the four candidates by preference. Your favorite candidate is ranked first. If a candidate gets 50 plus 1% of the votes in the general election, then they win. But if there isn't a candidate that has that many votes, that's when the fourth place candidate is eliminated. Mosier explains how this works with the M&M election.
So if our top four vote getters are pretzel, caramel, peanut butter, and dark chocolate is the fourth place vote getter, then all the people who voted for dark chocolate, whoever they voted for their second choice, those votes get redistributed to pretzel, caramel, and peanut butter.
Then the process is repeated with a third candidate if there isn't a candidate with 50 plus 1% of the votes after the first elimination round. And peanut butter ended up winning in the M&M election. Pretzel got second, caramel third, and dark chocolate fourth. The special election primary to fill Alaska's congressional seat will happen on June 11th, where people will vote for one out of 48 candidates. The special general election, when people rank the candidates, will be on August 16th. And just to make things extra complicated, August 16th is also the date for the regular primary election. In Juneau, I'm Lindsay Brolaney.
And the Petersburg Borough Assembly is hosting a presentation regarding ranked choice voting. That'll be this Thursday at 6 p.m. in Borough Assembly Chambers, and that will also be available over Zoom online. Juneau's elected officials have an anti-war message for Vladivostok, their sister city in Russia, but figuring out how to actually deliver the message is its own challenge. On the Juneau's assembly direction, Mayor Beth Weldon wrote a letter addressed to the mayor of Vladivostok condemning Russia's invasion of Ukraine. It also voices support for Ukraine and a hope that the two cities can eventually restore a cooperative relationship. The city tried to send the letter on Monday through the U.S. Postal Service, but a Postal Service spokesperson says mail addressed to Russia will be returned to the sender. The Postal Service and private carriers FedEx, UPS, and DHL all suspended service to Russia after it invaded Ukraine. Mayor Weldon says she'll try to resend it by email if she can find an email address. She plans to ask Sister Cities International, the nonprofit that facilitates sister city relationships, for help. For KFSK News, I'm Angela Denning. Thanks for listening.